Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
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 Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 21. Conversation between Manu and Kardama, text number 21. Okay. 20? Did I do 20 yesterday? No? 39, no. Up to 20. That's right, yeah, 20. That's it. Naitad batadisha padam dhavepsitam. Yanmayaya nasa tanushe bhuta sukshman. Anugraha yatsvapi yarhi mayaya. Lasatulasya bhagavan vilakshita. Tan bata disha patam tavipshitam. Yan maya nastanushe bata sukshmyam. Anugraha yatsvapi yarhi maya. Asatulasya bhagavan vilakshita. Tad bata disha patam tavipshitam. Yan maya nastanushe bhuta sukshmam. Anugraha yatsvapi yarhi maya. Lasatulasya bhagavan vilakshita. Na, not, etat, this, but, indeed, adisha, O Lord, padam, material world, tava, your, ipsitam, desire, yat, which, mayaya, by your external energy. Na, for us, tanushe, you manifest, bhuta sukshmam, the elements gross and subtle, anugrahaya, for bestowing mercy, astu, let it be, api, also, yarhi, when, mayaha, through your causeless mercy, lasat, splendid, tulasya, with a wreath of tulasi leaves, Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, vilakshita, is perceived. Translation, my dear Lord, although it is not your desire, you manifest this creation of gross and subtle elements just for our sensual satisfaction. Let your causeless mercy be upon us, for you have appeared before us in your eternal form, adorned with a splendid wreath of tulasi leaves. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. It is clearly stated here that the material world is not created by the personal will of the Supreme Lord. It is created by His external energy because the living entities want to enjoy it. This material world is not created for those who do not want to enjoy sense gratification, who constantly remain in transcendental loving service, and who are eternally Krishna conscious. For them, the spiritual world is eternally existing, and they enjoy there. Elsewhere, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is stated that for those who have taken shelter of your lotus feet, of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, this material world is useless, because this material world is full of danger at every step. It is not meant for the devotees, but for living entities who want to lord it over the material energy at their own risk. Krishna is so kind that he allows the sense-enjoying living entities a separate world created by him to enjoy as they like, yet at the same time he appears in his personal form. The Lord unwillingly creates his material world, but he descends in his personal form or sends one of his reliable sons or a servant or a reliable author like Vyasadeva to give instruction. He himself also instructs in his speeches of Bhagavad Gita. This propaganda work goes on side by side with the creation to convince the misguided living entities who are rotting in this material world to come back to him and surrender unto him. Therefore, the last instruction of Bhagavad Gita is this, give up all your manufactured engagements in the material world and just surrender unto me. I shall protect you from all sinful reactions. Srila Prabhupada opens this purport for the statement, helping us to understand the clear statement of the Lord, Kadama Muni in his prayers to the Supreme Lord. Srila Prabhupada says, it is clearly stated here that the material world is not created by the personal will of the Supreme Lord. It is created by his external energy because the living entities want to enjoy it. And then later on in the purport, again, he expresses the same thing. The Lord unwillingly creates this material world, but he descends in his personal form or sends one of his reliable sons or a servant or a reliable author like Vyasadeva, etc., to give instruction. So, now if we have a look at this verse in the Bhagavad Gita, we see that the Srimad Bhagavatam is expanding our understanding of what the Lord already states in the Bhagavad Gita. So in the Bhagavad Gita, text number 8, chapter 9. Prakritim swam vastabhya vishrujami puna panaha bhutagramam imam kvichnam avasham prakriti visa. The whole cosmic order is under me. Under my will, it is automatically manifest again and again, and under my will, it is annihilated at the end. So there, we see that Krishna, who expands as the various Purusha avatars, manifests this material world by his will. All the living entities are impregnated into that material creation. And as he says in the purport in the Bhagavad Gita, the state of being in their past life, in the past creation, is simply manifested again, and all this is done by his will. So here is describing in the Bhagavad Gita that the whole material creation is created by the Lord's will. So that gives us this understanding that in this section, what Krishna is trying to explain in the Bhagavad Gita, in the next verse he describes it, Nacha mam tani kamani nibatnanti dananjaya darshanatat Vajrasanam Ashaktam Teshu Kamshu or Jananjaya, all this work cannot bind me. I am ever detached from all these material activities, seated so neutral. Now, in the purport also, Srila Prabhupada explains, I think it's one of these verses here, that generally when people think of the Supreme Lord creating something, well, the material world, they have the picture of Atlas, you know, that demigod, the god Atlas, and he holds the world on his shoulder. So, you know, he's sort of very muscly with his physical strength, his brute strength, he's holding up the world on his shoulder like that. So, you know, he's putting a lot of it. So that's their conception of God. So much effort, so much, you know, strength. I've got it. I'm holding it here. See how long I can hold it there. So, but here, what Krishna is explaining is that he's seated as a neutral, that, you know, this is being done by his will, but as described in the 10th verse, it's the material nature which executes his will. Therefore, he's not really struggling at all. This material nature, which is one of my energies, is working under my direction, O son of Kunti, producing all moving and non-moving beings. Under its rule, this manifestation is created and annihilated again and again. See? So what Krishna is explaining is that by my will, the whole material manifestation is being created, but I don't have to do anything. Not like Atlas. My material energy does everything. And I'm seated as a neutral, as Krishna's position. But one may wrongly take from this, oh, Krishna created this material world by his will. He wants us to enjoy this material manifestation. That's his will. But in the Bhagavad Gita, that's not what he's saying. Just like you know, in the Bible, it is stated that, you know, men have dominion over the animals. So that is God's will. And therefore they take that therefore, it's therefore our exploitation. So we can eat them. Kill them, eat them. See? So that's God's will. He's given us dominion. He wanted it. So they take something a little more. So he wants us to enjoy that by killing and eating. And similarly, God, by his will, he created material energy. Oh, so he wants us to enjoy this to our full propensity. So that's not what Krishna is saying. When he means by his will, he's not saying, this is what I wanted. You know, I was really looking forward to some of my loving devotees in the spiritual world jumping the ship, taking a running leap, jumping into the material world, turning their back on me, forgetting our loving relationship and trying to pretend that they're me and exploit the material energy. That's not what he means by my will. So there, of course, here in the Bhagavad Gita, so many things can be given to give the fundamental ABCs. But in the Srimad Bhagavatam, we get a further understanding. So when it says, by his will, it means that it's showing his mystic potency. You know, in various different ways, you know, Krishna explains that. Just see my mystic potency. You know, that's what he's saying. That by my will, this is happening. If we want to do something in the material world, we have to struggle so hard. It's so difficult to do anything. Especially in this age of Kali. And day by day, it gets even worse. So, That we will see in the future, you know, especially if they elect Donald Trump as President of the United States. His will is he will do so many crazy things, but having the desire to do something and the potency to do that are two completely different things. And in Kali Yuga, day by day, things become more and more difficult. So, but Krishna, he's explaining. So, if Krishna desires something, then it is an eternal truth. If Krishna has a will that something should be, it is an eternal truth. Nothing more has to be done, just by his will. For we exist, that was Krishna's will. That we exist, that is sufficient. And that is an eternal truth. That is, you know, gives you just a little glimpse into the potency, the mystic potency of the Supreme Lord. You know, later, he's saying, fools deride me, I descend in the human form, and they take me as like an ordinary human being. So he's trying to explain there's a difference. Can anyone else do this? Can anyone, even by their will, make one little tiny mosquito? Hands up. By our will, sometimes by our will, we struggle to be able to walk. We lose our vision. We like to see, but the vision just disappears. By our will, we'd like not to get old. We just get old. Actually, by our will, we practically have very little. We have very little ability to exercise our will. And Krishna's saying, they're calling me an ordinary person, but just compare. By my will, this material creation. So you look at, nature. So many species of life, the web of life, all the different ecosystems around the world, all the different ecosystems in the universe. And this is one little planet. So Krishna's saying, just compare my will with your will, what happens, how do you say that I'm an ordinary human being? So actually, no one else, apart from a few madmen here and there, but no one else makes his claim to be actually the source of all material and spiritual emanations, creations. Only Krishna actually makes this claim, and only Krishna can back up this claim, and which he did in his pastimes. So, now, in today's class, of course, Krishna gives, we get a little bit more from the Srimad Bhagavatam, that when Krishna says, by my will, just look what he's done, even unwillingly. So unwillingly, because he didn't actually want the living entities to, rebel and pretend to be God and commit so many simple activities and cause so much pain to each other, so much suffering to each other. He didn't want that. He didn't want the living entities to experience this cycle of birth and death. But unwillingly, he manifests this material world. Just see what he manifests, even unwillingly. And yet it is perfect, as described in the Upanishad. Because the Lord is supreme and perfect and complete, all the emanations that emanate from Him, even unwillingly, are still perfect and complete. So you imagine the spiritual world which He willingly manifests for the living entities. So still, a lot of the different wars and sufferings in this world, in the name of religion, or acting, on behalf of God, is due to this mentality that somehow, this is what God wants, stated in this scripture, and that we come here to dominate and exploit, and this is God's precious domain. Somehow, because there's a couple of different classes of religionists. Generally, for people who have some faith in the Supreme, when they look at the material world, they say, how can that not be God? Because you look at the beauty of the rainbows, look at the beautiful hummingbirds, look at the, so many beautiful, creatures, and, how can there not be God? So that, everything is so wonderful like that. And others say, how can there be God? Because you get these horrible little creatures that, cause you so much difficulty, and David Attenborough says that, there's a species of worm that only exists in the human eye, and when it gets in there, it just causes blindness, but that's the only place you find it. So he's saying, how can there be God? So he's, he has no God consciousness. But generally, people base their concept of the Supreme Lord upon what they're experiencing here in the material world. And therefore, they either reject the notion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or if they accept the notion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they somehow think that the Supreme Lord is attached, that this is his best creation. Just like, I think there's one famous pundit or scholar in India, I'm not sure who he was, Prabhupada, quote him, that the greatest, most beautiful creation of God is a form of woman. Like that. So, therefore, you can see that concept that, somehow this is where God's mind is. My mind is, looking at the opposite sex for enjoyment. And God's must be pretty similar because he's done a really good job. So it's that sort of, the notion of God consciousness or a lack of it tend to centre around the material world. Actually, in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, we get a very clear conception that the Supreme Lord unwillingly created this material world. It's for those who want to not be God conscious, to forget Krishna. And for those who want to, who are always thinking of the Supreme Lord, he's manifested the spiritual world. And therefore, it describes here that he descends himself in his personal form. Or sends one of his reliable sons or a servant or a reliable author like Vyasadeva to give instruction. He himself also instructs us in his speeches of Bhagavad Gita. And this propaganda work goes side by side with the creation to convince the misguided living entities who are rotting in this material world to come back to him and surrender unto him. So again, this word here, reliable, let's look at what Krishna describes as the result of those who are not God conscious or those who are unreliable. Right, so Prabhupada is describing here in the purport how so many, the Lord or his representatives, they're very reliable. And those who are not God conscious, they're mentioned in the same chapter, 9th chapter, text number 12. Mogasya moga kamano moga jnana vichetasa raksasima surim seva prakatim mohinim shrita. Those who are thus bewildered are attracted by demoniac and atheistic views. In that deluded condition, their hopes for liberation, their fruit of activities, and their culture of knowledge are all defeated. Everything they do is undeniable. But these, you know, here Krishna describes these personalities who have demoniac and atheistic views. So that is in degrees. Just like to follow the Vedas. Many people think, oh, I follow the Vedas, therefore I'm, you know, Deva, or, you know, on the good side. Actually, Srila Prabhupada says that actually just one who even strictly follows the Vedas does not take them out of the jurisdiction of being a demon. And we get the example of Jarasandha, Ravana, Kamsa. Actually, you know, many of the greatest demons were very strict followers of Vedic principles. Very strict, stricter than ours. So, but, you know, when that, one can be a religious person and still have demoniac and atheistic views. Srila Prabhupada, you know, was discussing with his disciples and, they were discussing different, religions, Christian, you know, this and the other. And what they say is, you know, the teachings of, you know, the Bible and this, that and the other. And Srila Prabhupada said, just see, the devil is quoting scripture. He's referring to the different, you know, leaders. The devil is quoting scripture. So, you know, it's that materialistic concept of the Supreme Lord which then enters into the religious principles, and within those religious principles, generally, it makes even religious persons see that with God's authorizations, with his blessings, we are the enjoyers, exploiters, rulers, dominators, masters of this material world. And Krishna says quite simply, give up all that nonsense and just surrender unto me. He rejects it all. It's all nonsense. So, but, you know, the devotees, so we're very, very fortunate. Just like, you know, within ISKCON, ISKCON is like about 50 years old or something, a baby. It's supposed to go for about 10,000 years. And, you know, so naturally there's a lot of ups and downs and things that go right and wrong. So, you know, there can be some upheavals from time to time. But the one thing that always keeps ISKCON solid is Srila Prabhupada. Because he's solid, he's like a rock, he's reliable. You know, very reliable. He gave exactly what Krishna taught, what his spiritual master said. He didn't tamper with it. He's just a reliable messenger. This is the message. I'm just dropping it off to everyone, making sure everyone gets a chance like that. But like Hanuman, very reliable servant. And that is, so that is, you know, it's an interesting choice of word here. You know, that's what we want to become as devotees. You know, a devotee, you can define a devotee in, you know, different ways according to Chaitanya Charitamrita and Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. But in the long run, a devotee shouldn't be a nonsense, you know, an unreliable nonsense. You know, a devotee should If a devotee in ISKCON, they should represent Prabhupada and give, you know, devotion, give Krishna and devotional service and Prabhupada and ISKCON, you know, a very good and reliable, you know, reputation. You know, devotee shouldn't be shonky up and down, you know, just steady. And, you know, sometimes in Kali Yuga, you know, and of course to be reliable means just to follow what Srila Prabhupada gave, and you just, we just follow that. We don't change it, we don't add to it, and just day by day, every day, we do our, as Prabhupada says, our routine work, Prabhupada calls it, you know, just reliable. Routine work means 16 rounds, four regular principles, you know, chant the Gayatris, read the Srimad Bhagavatam, do Guru Puja, worship the deities, have some prasadam, do a little preaching. Next day, same thing. Next day, same thing. Just reliable, steady. You can tell, you know, what's the devotee doing today? I haven't seen him for a few weeks, but what time is it? Oh, the devotee will be up now, chanting his round, you know, doing Mangalati during the day, do a little preaching, do his work, look after the family, like that. Reliable, solid, you know. And that's very pleasing to Srila Prabhupada, that's very pleasing to Krishna. So, of course, to do that, you know, one thing which is very difficult to do is to just follow what Srila Prabhupada set down. Because Prabhupada once mentioned, you know, generally people want something new. You know, and he explained that even with his devotees, with his followers, you know, he would chastise them. Don't introduce something new. Why you want to, you know, you're doing this new thing, you know, just, you know, standard. It's like we had Kirtan this morning, very nice, you know. It was a, I knew you as Area. What's your initiated name? Not initiated, still Area? So, a very nice Kirtan, my standard Kirtan, standard B. Very good. I knew you from New Zealand, that was going back in the 80s. And doing Paliyatra, yeah, Christless. But yeah, very nice kirtan. I enjoyed it, just in a nice standard kirtan. Very good, very wonderful. Standard tunes, standard beat, nice. But you know, sometimes even Srila Prabhupada's followers, they would introduce different tunes, or, you know, leave out Prabhupada's pranams, or leave out the panchatattva, like that. And, you know, because if you... The problem is, if you just do something which seems to be standard, you don't seem to stand out to get any distinction or special credit. But if you introduce something new and wonderful, it's like, oh, he's got something, you know, like that. But Prabhupada actually saw it as actually, when a person can't do the standard thing on a regular basis, it's a symptom that there's no control of the mind. It's a lack of the control of the mind and senses. That's, so that is Kali Yuga. You find day by day, even though so many wonderful things have happened in the past, so many wonderful cultures, so much knowledge coming down from, you know, in our line, and even, you know, from Jesus and Muhammad, so much wonderful, you know, culture, still people want something new because the mind is uncontrolled, and to just do the standard thing on a daily basis is the most difficult thing. This is one, you know, thing which is, I've always found fascinating, both within ISKCON and out of ISKCON, is that the hardest thing to do is just the simple standard thing, and even though introducing some new thing becomes a real problem to the person, to everyone else, that is generally the path that a lot of people follow. So this, if we, you know, if you look at the, if you go back in our disciplic succession, you look at Srila Prabhupada, rock solid. His spiritual master, Shankhi, rock solid. His spiritual master, Gaurakishore Das, like a rock. You go back, Raghunath Das Goswami, speaking of rocks, is described that his regulative principles were so fixed up that they were like the lines carved in a stone of Shalagram. You ever seen the lines carved in a Shalagram move? They're just like there forever. That's how, you know, described. It's rock solid like that. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, similar like that. Krishna's teachings, these are the same teaching. Talk about reliable. Krishna spoke this same teaching to the sun god 40 million, I think over 40 million years ago, something. Yeah. 40 or 400? I think 40 million years, yeah, sun god. Same teaching. 40 million years, no change. Actually, his teachings are eternal, no change. So, we're very, very fortunate that we come in this discipling succession, and we don't have to change anything, we don't have to tamper with it, and we really don't have to be, you know, big, big, wonderful people with so much qualification. And that's what Prabhupada showed in his life, that if you look at throughout his whole life, since the time he met Śrīla Bhaktisiddhānta, every day he only did one thing, and that is he meditated how to serve the order of his spiritual master, and just, you know, he just kept working on that, as I say, a lifetime in preparation, day in, day out. You know, you go to the Western world, you give this Krishna consciousness, so just, you know, it seems like a very simple order, and he just followed that, you know, just day in, day out like that. Studying the books, you know, and developing, you know, the skills in kirtan and vedanga and, you know, kartals and preaching like that. So for us, that is our business also, just, you know, day in, day out. But that simple thing that Srila Prabhupada did is very, although it's the simplest thing to do, is just to follow an instruction and just do that on a regular daily basis. You find in the life of the average devotee, it's actually the hardest thing to do. And very few people do it. Very few devotees actually do that. You know, if you look, like I go back to 1978 and I see, you know, because here all new faces, and you know, the amount of devotees who just start year in, year out for the rest of their life, very few. So devotional services, and Krishna describes in that same chapter, the Bhagavad Gita, the 9th chapter, he says actually devotional service is very easy. In that same 9th chapter, text number 2. Rajavija, Rajaguyam, Pabitramidam Uttamam, Padyakshavagamandam Yam, Susukam Katamavyam. This knowledge is the king of education, the most secret of all secrets. It is the purest knowledge, and because it gives direct perception of the self by realization, it is the perfection of religion. It is everlasting, and it is joyfully performed. Okay? So the knowledge is there. That knowledge Krishna gives is eternal. It is the highest. There is nothing above that knowledge which Krishna is given. And if we don't quite fully get, you know, the full import of it, it's just expanded, the understanding in the Srimad Bhagavatam, but the same teachings, just to make sure we haven't got a slight wrong take on that knowledge. It's everlasting and joyfully performed. Very easy. Very easy performed. Take a little bhajan, chant Hare Krishna, and worship the Lord, bow the head. Yeah. One of the things that always fascinates me, because I, you know, do the hair cutting for the children, is, you know, so they come in, they're about, you know, between 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, a year, 2 years, but I always get them to pay their obeisances. Once we've done a little ceremony here or for the fire, I always get them to pay their obeisances. And you know, it's very interesting watching that struggle, because really, you know, they're little babies, and all they've got to do is touch their head to the ground, and the parents can't get them to do it, and they keep, you know, because the children really put their arms out and their heads
parents are putting there, they're like, kids, I'm like, no, I'm not going to.
It's fact, it's so easy to do. They're only a baby, and it's such a struggle. You know? Right? And I'm looking at those parents thinking, if you can't get that 3 month, 6 month baby to put their head on the ground now, wait till they're 15. You know? It's not going to happen. You know? It's so easy, you know, and it's like, it's joyful. You know, you put your head in the ground, you can have a little rest. Some of the babies you see that do it, they put their head in the ground, a big smile, and they have a little rest. It's like the weight of the world's taken off them. Oh, this is good, you know. Lay on their belly. Oh, that's great, you know. And others, they'll fight, you know, and they'll just, you know, and they'll just cry. And if they put their head, oh, what have you done to me, you know. Cry and scream. So, you know, in this same chapter, Krishna gives the most confidential instruction. And what does he say? Is it the same thing? He says, think of me. How much energy does it take to, you know, think? So easy. You can actually sit down and think, and you can breathe at the same time. I've tried it. Become my devotee. So, think of him in a friendly way, like that. You know, develop a friendly relationship. Not in an angry way. worship me or offer your homage unto me. So there's so many people to worship. Everyone's worshipping this. People are worshipping Hitler, you know, people are worshipping Marx, people are worshipping Lenin, and you know, who's that fellow in Russia? Putin, Donald Trump. He has this huge, people worship him. People worship their cars. You know, people worship, you know, so many different things. Krishna says, worship me. And actually, if you look at all the different forms of worship in this world, it is very, very hard to worship anyone but Krishna. You have to go, if you take any of the different types of worship in this world, you'll find that there's a lot of effort in that worship, except for Krishna. Krishna, what does he say? Same chapter. Can you give me a flower? A little bit of water? Worship me like that? A little bit of love? I'll accept that. How easy is that? You can't get any easier than that. And then the other one, pay your obeisances. So he says, this is the most confidential instruction I can give you, Arjuna. There's nothing above that. Surrender to that. You surrender to this. So it's so easy, very joyfully performed. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made it even easier. You want to think of me? Chant and dance while you're thinking. Makes it easier. You've got disturbing things in your mind? Chant and dance with all your friends and devotees and then have a big feast and then all that stuff just goes away. So, they're the easy things. And yet, as Prabhupada said, Krishna consciousness is simple for the simple-hearted, but for the duplicitous, it's very difficult, practically impossible. Duplicitous means we want to be a devotee and enjoy the material world. Then Krishna consciousness is really hard. And this is what this verse is talking about. And you'll find that this is why all the various religions of the world are having so much problem. Because they're trying to do exactly that. They're trying to, you know, conscript, you know, this is God's will. So we're going to be great saints and we're going to enjoy and exploit this material world at the cost of all sorts of other living entities. Then spiritual life becomes an impossibility, whether bhakti, Christianity, Muslim religion, same thing. So, any questions or comments? Yeah, so can just rephrase that clearly so everyone can hear. It's a good question. Just say that in a clear way and louder so everyone can hear.
My question was, being a father, we sometimes have our kids' desire, like, you know, there's so many desires, but sometimes for their benefits, like, you know, we ignore some of their desires, fulfill some of them. So was our desire to enjoy separately from the Lord really, really strong? So, like, the Lord did not neglect it, and just to fulfill our desire, unwillingly create this material world for them, you know, make us.
Well, in this section of the Srimad Bhagavatam, we hear about the fall of Jaya and Vijaya. So there we learn that actually the living entity cannot fall from Vaikuntha or the spiritual world. The living entity cannot fall and does not fall. You have to take like a running, jumping leap. And, you know, from what Srila Prabhupada helps us to understand is that Krishna tries to talk us out of it. So, when we leave the spiritual world, it's a very determined effort. And, you know, you see in the Bhagavad Gita and the Mahabharata, Krishna himself went and spoke to, you know, Dhritarashtra. Dhritarashtra said, I know Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I know that everything will come to ruin because I'm going against the instruction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But somehow, by the will of the Lord, I'm not going to follow it. So, you know, Krishna was there personally in front of, you know, telling him. If you, when you read the Mahabharata, you can see that actually, if you exhausted every possible avenue to stop that war, much more was done by Krishna, the Pandavas, all the great saintly personalities, Vyasadeva, Vidura, so many people. There were so many, you know, there was so much good instruction. The whole Mahabharata is filled with good instruction. And they just ignored everyone and everything. They were determined that they would fight that war and seize that kingdom. And it's therefore, in the long run, there was no choice. And it's a little picture of, you know, how it's possible in the spiritual world, same thing. You know, so you don't fall from the spiritual world. It's not like you slip and, you know, your mind gets a little cloudy for, you know, a couple of seconds, and then, you know, perhaps Krishna should have grabbed you while you're just spacing out a bit. It's not like that. You know, you don't fall from the spiritual world. You know, you leave purposely with great determination. You know, with a great strong desire. Therefore, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, he doesn't say you just sort of got a bit hazy and sort of left. He says here that text number 27 in the 7th chapter, Ichitvesha Smutina Tvanda Mohina Bharata Sarva Bhutani Samoham Sage Yanti Param Tapa, a sign of Bharat, a conqueror of the foe. All living entities are born into delusion, into the material world, bewildered by dualities arisen from desire and hate. Within the heart of the living entity, there is that desire to enjoy as Krishna is the enjoyer, and that envy, he is the enjoyer, that is the position I want. So it is that desire and hate which is there. within the living entity, and despite Krishna's attempts, that desire and hate, you know, brings us into this material world. It's not as if you fell or spaced out a little bit. It's quite a state of heart. Any other questions or comments? Yep.
You mentioned in the mention that Krishna unwillingly created this material world. But as you see in Bhagavad Gita, it is stated that Krishna is the cause of all causes. I find it a bit contradictory. Can you explain?
Yeah. By his will, he is indicating that he's not an ordinary person, that when he wills something, his different energies automatically do everything. So by his will. Therefore he's indicating he doesn't really have to do anything, therefore we cannot call him an ordinary person. When he has a will, his unlimited spiritual potencies manifest in the spiritual world, the material world. So therefore, understand he is the Supreme Lord. Then, in the Bhagavad Gita, to show that it's not his desire that you remain in the material world, he says, give up all your activities in this material world and come back. In that verse we just read, why have you come here? You've come here because of your desire and your envy. Come to this material world, you've been born into here by your desire and your envy. It's the same thing is stated in the Bhagavad Gita. But he's saying, you know, and then there are so many religious things based around your desire to enjoy the material world. Give up that sort of nonsense religion. Give it all up. I don't want you to stay here, you know, in the name of religion or atheism or anything to be the enjoyer of this world. Give up all that nonsense, even your religious principles based on that, and just surrender unto me and come back. So he's actually saying the same thing in the Bhagavad Gita. It's just that in this one verse here, it's sort of summed up a little bit more succinctly, just in case we missed it. So, you know, it's just the way we understand, you know, when someone says, oh, it's my will, we can take it that, oh, I really wanted to do that. Or, in Krishna's case, when he says it's his will, it means that just because he has that will, it becomes an eternal truth. So therefore, he's not an ordinary person. But because the material energy is constantly manifested and unmanifested as an eternal truth, does not necessarily, by his will, does not necessarily mean that he, you know, wants that. And therefore he's trying to reclaim the living entities constantly through the Bhagavad Gita. Why would he speak the Bhagavad Gita? Why would he give the Vedas? Why do so many personalities like Jesus, Muhammad, Buddha, all of them try and take us, if you look at every religion, they're all saying this properly, the proper teachings, this material world is not your home, you reside in the kingdom of God. So that is the teachings of all of them. Somehow, it's you know, being changed that no, you actually belong here. Actually, from the perspective of religion, if you take it properly, the material world is useless and a waste of time. That's the perspective of the devotee. It's useless and a waste of time. It has a purpose for Krishna because it helps them to live out their delusions, if that's what they want. So you want to do that. I don't want you to do that, but so it's helpful for him. But the material world also gives him an opportunity to take them back. It has twofold. So therefore its purpose. For our purposes residing here, it is useless, but we can take advantage of, while we're here, the material, the human body, to get out of it and take at least that value. So, you know, just like if you have a house, you have the bedroom, you have the kitchen, you have the toilet. Toilet has a purpose. But after you've, passed, it's really useless to you. It has no further, in this day and age, there's a habit, people sit there and read the newspaper and the racing guide, and they'll spend hours, and they'll read the newspaper, and they, probably to get away from the other family members who are driving them crazy. That's what they do. So they sit in the toilet room and say something. But basically, once you've actually done your business, it really is a useless waste of time to stay there. It's like that. So you just get out. So the material world is like that. Srila Raghunath Das Goswami used to say, this material world is like a deep, dark pit in which everyone passes stool in it. And I have fallen into that. In one sense, sometimes we equate Krishna consciousness as when I can understand the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, when I can, have these ecstatic feelings, then I'll be advanced. But if you go through Prabhupada's books, when you understand, first of all, that this material world is nothing more than a big pit where people pass stool, and it's, you treat it like that has no real value to me at all, that is a very advanced state of Krishna consciousness. And that is the platform by which real devotion and real attachment to Krishna will manifest. Because then it's, sincere. This lifetime, I do not want to come back next lifetime. This lifetime, I want to get out. Never to come back. Has no value. Useless waste of time. It's for suffering. And Krishna says that in the Gita, from the highest to the lowest is the place of suffering. That's exactly right. Yeah, that's exactly right. And another example with that in a country where we have free will, but if we go against the government laws, there's a certain point where someone has done something. There's a lot of things you can do, and then you sort of make your own adjustments. Oh, gee, I shouldn't have done that. I'll go on, I stole that from that person. I'll just put it back, write him a letter, leave it there anonymously. So sorry, why did I do that? But there's a certain point at which the government laws automatically kick in. So, for instance, say domestic violence, husband and wife argue, it's... not unusual, but there's a certain point when it catches the attention of the government, and because some incident took place there, some physical handling, then the government law just kicks in, and there's nothing anyone can, from there, they just go right through the system. You got to go through the court case, you got to pay the money to the lawyers, you got to, like that. So it's like the material world is like that. At a certain point, and it just kicks in like that. Krishna is the cause, and there's basically nothing the living entity can do. Once you get into the body, once you get into the material world, so yeah. At a certain point, the material energy just takes over. Yeah. But as, addressing your question, it's not, Krishna tries, in a very friendly and persuasive way, don't get to that point. And still we go further, and then material energy just kicks in. And then there's, you know, nothing you do, you're under the laws of nature. So, for instance, in that example with, say, the legal system, once you get into the legal system, they say, okay, from this point on, the law says this has to happen, this has to happen. Literally, you can't pull out. You've got to go from start to finish. You know, there's nothing you can do. And, you know, once you get into the material body, you know, you try getting out, you know, you've got to go through that whole lifetime. You get in the body of a dog, you know, you just got to go through it. You've got to come up through all the different species of life. You're just stuck there. There's nothing you can do. You just got to go through all the millions of different species. The system just takes over. So, therefore, it's automatic. But Krishna tries very hard to talk you out of getting to that point. But once you're in it, you're in it. Yeah. Any other? So you understood that point? It's quite a deep point, and you have to meditate upon it a little bit. But you can ask again another day. You know, we can have a further chat on that. But these things, you know, they take a lot. Any other questions from the ladies? Anyone having? All good. Should have qualified.